We are in a Sivo Shalom Parshat Vayechi on page Shin Zayin, Inyan Menashe and Ephraim. Says in the Sivo Shalom, quoting the Pasuk, Vayishlach Yisrael et Yimino, Vayishit al Rosh Ephraim, Vuat Sa'ir, Vet Smolo al Rosh Menashe, Sikel et Yadav ki Menashe Abichon. The Pasuk tells us that Yisrael, meaning Yaakov, the context is, many of us are familiar with this, for those who are not, Yosef brings Menashe and Ephraim to Yaakov before Yaakov passes away. And Yaakov wants to give his grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim, a bracha. So what happens? Yosef sets them up so that way, as they should be the bechor, Menashe is on the right, and Ephraim, the younger one, is on the left. And then Yaakov switches his hands to put his right hand on the younger, Ephraim, and his left hand on the older, Menashe. So the question is, I mean, I'm sure he's going to get this, why is it that he's switching his hands, and whatever other questions he has to go along with that. But that's the classic question. Sikel et Yadav, he switched his hands, despite the fact that Menashe was the Bechor. Vayivarech et Yosef vayomer ha'elokim, asher yitalchu avotai lefanav, Avraham v'Yitzchak. Yaakov then blesses Yosef, not Menashe and Ephraim, he then blesses Yosef, and he says, the God who walked before, which my forefathers walked before him, Avram Yitzchak, Elokim, Haro'eoti me'odi arayom azeh, the God who led me from the beginning until this day. Hamalach hago'alotim mikol ra, yivarech atzane arim, the Malach who redeemed me from all evil, who took care of me, he should bless these children, vayikarei behem shemi, and they'll be called by my name, the shem avotai, Avraham v'Yitzchak, v'idgul arov bekerav ha'aretz. And they'll be called by my name and the names of Avraham and Yitzchak, and they will proliferate, they'll reproduce, and be fruitful in the land. V'acharkach, afterwards it says, vayomer Yosef el aviv, that Yosef then turns to Yaakov and says, lo kein avi, this is not proper, my father Yaakov. Kizeh bechor. This one's the bechor. The bracha should go to the bechor. The right hand should be on the bechor, on the older one. Vayimain aviv. But Yaakov refused. Yaakov says, no, I know what I'm doing. I did it intentionally. I want to switch my hands. I wanted to give the right hand to the younger one. Vayomer yadati b'ni yadati. I know what I'm doing. Gam hu yeh la'am, v'gam hu yigadel, v'ulam achiv ha'katan yigadel mimenu, v'zaro yeh malei ha'goyim. The younger one's also going to be a nation, and he's also going to grow up to be tremendous. But the younger one, he's the one who's going to have this larger nation, is going to have a bigger role. So says the Nesivos Shalom, Yesh Leva'er, we have to explain, behind Yana, in terms of this topic, Et HaMachloket Bein Da'at Yaakov V'Da'at Yosef. I mean, again, we often learn these stories with child's eyes, because the last time we learned them seriously was when we were children. Let's come back and really think about these stories from adult eyes. We're talking about Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov, the end point in the choices of the Avos, and Yosef HaTzadik, one of the Shiftei Ka, one of the most prominent of the Shiftei Ka, Yosef HaTzadik. It's not like, oh, what happened? Oh, well, Nebuch, Yaakov was old, and so they thought he messed up, maybe he's a little senile. So Yosef goes, oh, maybe he messed up, and he goes, no, my bad, but it wasn't really my bad, it was fine, it was intent. No, we're talking about a machloket here. A machloket between Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik. Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik. What's the depth of the meaning? What are the two shitot here? What are the two opinions here? That there's clearly a shita, an opinion of Yaakov, that's Dafka putting the younger first. And there's a shita of Yosef, which seemingly is incorrect, even though it's a legitimate shita. There's a shita of Yosef that says, no, the Bechor should be first. To look at it from mature eyes. What's really the depth of what's happening here? What's really the opinion of Yosef? What's really the opinion of Yaakov? And why was Yaakov correct? Why did Yaakov disagree with Yosef? And why did he switch his hands? What's really happening here? The Anu Ro'im, first one line is the Anu. The Anu Ro'im, Shalimrot Divrei Yaakov, Yadati B'ni Yadati, V'ulam Achiv HaKaton Yigdal Mimenu, and again, we see this in the Torah itself. Because we see that Yosef's like, no, you switched your hands. And Yaakov responds, I know exactly what I'm doing. It was intentional. Says the Nesivos Shalom again, to think with mature eyes, this is infinite Torah. That if the Torah went out of its way to tell us that Yosef disagreed, even though he was wrong, that it means there's a depth to what Yosef's opinion was. The Torah is telling us that so we can investigate. What was Yosef's opinion? What was the depth of what Yosef's intention was? Why did Yaakov disagree? And why did Yaakov's opinion prevail? That's a much more mature perspective on how to engage the story. Because if the Torah records it, it's for all generations. There must be two legitimate opinions here. Additionally, the Mefarshim ask, Alomro, Vayivarechet Yosef, Dilomatsinu kan brachal Yosef, Kiim leMenashe veEfraim. It's very odd. He goes, and he takes his hands and he switches them, and then he says, I'm now going to give you a bracha, Yosef. Then he doesn't give Yosef a bracha, and does exactly what you'd expect him doing, is a bracha to Menashe and Ephraim. So why does Yaakov verbally say, I'm giving you a bracha, Yosef, if he physically and verbally then gives a bracha to Menashe and Ephraim? Why state that he's giving a bracha to Yosef? How do we understand that? Because the bracha is, on Malach HaGoel Tini Korai Yivarech Et HaNe'arim. The bracha is for the Ne'arim, for Menashe and Ephraim. So how do we understand that? V'gomen. V'chein, v'cha Yivarech Yisrael Leimor Yisimcha Elokim Ke'Ephraim U'Menashe. That's how we say. The bracha that we say, it's where it comes from. Yivarech Elokim Ke'Ephraim U'Menashe. It's clearly going to Ephraim U'Menashe. So why does he preface it and say, I'm giving you, Yosef, a bracha? The Haramban Pirish, the Ramban explains, because it's beautiful. Any bracha to the children is a bracha for the parents. Any bracha to the children is a bracha for the parents. And it's a beautiful answer. But then Siva Shalom is not satisfied with that. But the Arachaim asks on this answer of the Ramban, fine, that's very nice, but if he's saying, I'm going to give you a bracha, so then give him a bracha. There's plenty to give Yosef a bracha about. So the Ramban's answer is nice, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but there's got to be more going on there. U'mefaresh al pi divrei Chazal, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains. Shemafteach habrachot haya biyad Avraham, u'masro li Yitzchak, v'Yitzchak masro li Yaakov, v'yata masro Yaakov li Yosef, v'omro v'yivarechet Yosef pirush, masar biyado mafteach habrachot. So again, I doubt that he's going to really go into this. He's just explaining the Or HaChaim HaKadosh answer, which is what's happening is that the key of bracha, from the very first time we really meet Avraham, at the beginning of Lech Lecha, the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he says, you're going to be bracha, ve'yei bracha. And he gives the key of bracha to Avraham. And Avraham passes along to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak passes along to Yaakov. So claims the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in this moment, Yaakov was passing it along to Yosef. But again, like I said, the Nesivos Shalom, he's quite giving the answer to the Or HaChaim, but he's gonna say, I want something else. Says the Nesivos Shalom, Achin Adayim Kasheh Lefizeh, but this is still problematic. Hemshech HaPasuk, the continuation of the Pasuk. Vayomer Elokim Asher Yitalchu Avotai Lefanav, Avraham V'Yitzchak. He says, I'm blessing you, Yosef, the God which Avraham and Yitzchak followed, Hamalach Agolti Mikorai Vrechan Yarim, She'ein Kan Shum Remesh Shemasard Mafteach Abrachot Yosef El Abrachah Lefraim Menashe. Meaning the Or HaChaim HaKadosh answer is nice, that the bracha went to Avram, then to Yitzchak, then to Yaakov, and now Yaakov's giving it to Yosef. But when you look at the actual wording of what Yaakov says, there's no indication, says the Nesivos Shalom, from what Yaakov actually says, that there's any passing along of the bracha. So he wants to go in a different direction. Bottom line, two questions. Number one here is, Yaakov switches his hands. Yosef says, Abba, what are you doing? You switching your hands? He says, no, I know what I'm doing. So again, if the Torah is recording it, it means there's a shita of Yaakov and a shita of Yosef. Shita means opinion. There's an opinion of Yaakov and an opinion of Yosef. And we want to understand, what are those two opinions? What was Yosef's opinion? Why did Yaakov disagree? And why was Yaakov ultimately correct? And number two, separately, why does Yaakov open up his bracha to the children, to Ephraim and Menashe, by saying that he's giving a bracha to Yosef? Those bottom line are our two questions. Next paragraph. V'yesh la'avin bazeh. D'inei inyan, ha'inyan, she'yosef nitchalek lebet shvatim, Menashe ve'Ephraim, v'lo nimsa kein b'shar shvatim. We can explain this based on the fact that we see that Yosef, and only Yosef, was divided into two shvatim. Yosef gets divided into Ephraim and Menashe, which we don't find by any other shevet. No other shevet was zocher to this. But Yosef becomes, is gifted with becoming Ephraim and Menashe, becoming two Shvatim. Who could eat a bit of Shmuel? Dibimidah shall Yosef ishbet chalakim. And he says that's because if you look at the midah of Yosef, if you look at the reality of Yosef, he has two aspects to him. Meaning Ephraim and Menashe are bringing out, bringing forth two aspects of Yosef. And those two aspects are Sor Meira, bottom line, you can see it inside, bottom line, Sor Meira, the Ase Tov. If one is bringing out Sor Meira, which means staying away from doing the wrong thing, and one is bringing out Ase Tov, specifically going forward and doing the right thing, right? And there's those two aspects of Avodas Hashem. Keeping from doing the wrong thing, keeping from doing, for example, like the lo ta'aseh, stuff you don't do, that's sor meira, stop doing the things that are wrong. And then aseh tov, dafka, go forward and do things that are positive. Sor meira v'aseh tov. And he says, bottom line on the page, u'menashe inyano sor meira. The reality of Menashe is sor meira. He's the one. Menashe is bringing out the sumra, moving away, staying away from the negative. Kedichtiv, top of the next column. It's in his name, because the name always indicates an essence. Those of you who say above, we've talked about that, right? A name indicates an essence. Kedichtiv, ki nashani Elokim et kol amaliv et kol beit avi. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to forget all of my difficulties, everything that happened in my father's house. It's about putting the past behind me, moving away from the negative. That's the source of Menashe's name. And on the flip side, you have Ephraim. The Ephraim in Yano Ase Tov. Ephraim's reality is going towards the good. And so too we see that in his name. Ki dichtiv, when he was named, they said, Ki hifrani Elokim be'eretz oni. Yosef said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hifrani, he's multiplied me, he's given me so much, even in this land of my suffering. Menashe is about looking and putting away the negativity of the past, Sor Meira. And Ephraim is about continuing to produce tremendous things in the future. Ase Tov. Shagam be'eretz oni, that even in this land of Mitzrayim, even in this land where I'm having all of these difficulties, I've gone through so much. This land of Shagam be'eretz oni, b'tochechi ata'avot, Yifrani Elokim ba'ase Tov. Even in this land of Mitzrayim, the land of Mitzrayim, which is so complicated, so challenging, so full of tum'ah, so full of ta'avot, so full of desire, so full of impurities, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to continue to do good things. Next paragraph. V'alpizei yish la'avin. Based on this, we can understand. V'yichoch Yaakov v'yosef. V'ikuach. V'ikuach Yaakov v'yosef l'mi mishpat hakadima. Based on this, we can understand the argument between Yosef and Yaakov in terms of which one was supposed to go first. Dehine, Maran b'divrei Shmuel mefaresh al od b'madichtiv la'el b'parasha v'yira Yisrael et b'nei Yosef v'yaris Yisrael b'nei Yosef v'yomer mi'ele otziot Elokim. The Sefer Divrei Shmuel explains on a previous pasuk, in the same meaning, in the same topic, it says Vayar Yisrael et Bnei Yosef, that Yaakov saw the children of Yosef. He sees Ephraim and Menashe when Yosef brings them to him. Vayomer mi eile, and he looks at them and he says, mi eile, who are these? Who are these children? Who are these two, Ephraim and Menashe? Who are they? So the Divrei Shmuel says, why does he say mi eile? Who are these? Says the Divrei Shmuel that the words mi and eile together are the letters of Elohim, the letters of the name of God. Mi Ele, Elohim. If you reorganize the letters, you get the name Elohim. Shashem HaKadosh HaZeh, Morel Midat HaYira. Elohim is associated with Yira. Elohim is associated with fear. Right, Yudke Vavke is often associated with Rachamim, with mercy. And Elohim is more associated with fear, Yira. Fear of God versus love of God. V'Yaakov ra'a she'im ovdim et Hashem yiprach bi'ikar v'midat ha'yira. What he saw was, Yaakov saw, when he saw Ephraim and Menashe come into the room, he wasn't simply asking, again, on a pshat level, saying, who are these two? But he knew that Yosef had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So again, on a pshat level, he's asking, who are they? But on a deeper level, what's he really saying here? He's saying he looked at them and he said, Mi'ele. He looked at them and he saw Elohim. He looked at Ephraim and Manasseh and he saw two individuals who were primarily serving God from a place of yirah, from a place of fear, not a place of love. V'alkein sha'al mi'ele. So he says, who are these? Hinting to this question. He's really asking on a much deeper level. Madua ikar avodotam yibim midata yirah velo midata ahava. Why? I'm looking at these two beautiful grandchildren, these two beautiful sons of Yosef. Why are they primarily serving God out of fear and not out of love? Sharei midata ahava hi gvoha yoter. Because serving out of love is higher than serving out of fear. The goal is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a basis of yirah, but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu entirely from a place of love. V'al zeh hishiv Yosef. Yosef then responds. In the Pesukim, he says, Banai heim asher natan li Elokim bazeh. He says, these are my children who God gave me here. Again, you could think about it on a simple level. Oh, you know, like, old man, maybe a little bit senile, maybe a little bit blind. Oh, who are these kids? And he goes, oh, these are my kids. We're talking about Torah. We're talking about the infinite. It's not recording a conversation of a senile Yaakov, chas v'shalom, talking to Yosef. Who are these kids? Oh, they're my grandchildren. Remember, Abba, I had kids. No, that's not, it's Torah. It's infinite. And we're talking about Yaakov Avinu and Yosef at Tzadik. Yaakov's asking, Mi'ele. I look at these two beautiful grandchildren of mine that I'm so going to get to see. I look at the two children of Yosef. Why are they serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of fear? Why are they so focused on Yira? What's going on in their Avodas Hashem? That's a real question from Yaakov to Yosef. And Yosef has an answer. Yosef says, Banayim, these are my children. Asher natan li Elokim bazeh. Who God gave me here. Hainu sheyot shehem noldu v'nimsa'im b'mitzrayim. Hear the depth of the answer. These are my children who God gave me here. Where's here? Mitzrayim. God gave me these children and I was allowed to produce them in Mitzrayim. She eretz tme'ah. Eretz Mitzrayim, which is a land of tumah. A land that's completely and totally impure. They were birthed and raised in a reality of tum'ah. Because they were born here in Mitzrayim. Of course, says Yosef, their main avodat Hashem is in Yira. They were born in Mitzrayim. They were born in a land of Tumah. So I raised them on a healthy diet of fear, of Yirat Shamayim. Because how else were they going to overcome the trials and tribulations of being born in Mitzrayim, being raised in Mitzrayim, living in Mitzrayim? How could they live in such a place of impurity and not succumb to that impurity, not give in to that impurity? Unless I raise them fully. Well, not, I assume not fully, I assume there was Ava there also. But unless I raise them to live and serve God through Yirat Shamayim, that was the only way. To raise them to know, to eat din, to eat dayan. To constantly reinforce for them that there is a day of judgment and there is a judge. Don't give in to the temptations of Mitzrayim. It's not worth it. There's a judgment at the end of days. There's a judge at the end of days, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though the temptations of Mitzrayim look tremendous, don't give in. Don't give in. Shabarei Barach Shemo Yodea Kol Maasei B'nei Adam B'chol Machshavotam. To reinforce for them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything we do. Knows every thought that passes through our minds. And to keep reinforcing that for them. And continues Yosef and says, "V'ilu hayu ovdim et Hashem yiparach makom kazeh midat ahava, alulim ein lipo be'ahava nefula." If they were to serve God out of ahava here in Mitzrayim, that ahava could get totally distorted. the Ahavat Hashem itself could get distorted and bring them to an Ahava Nefula, a fallen Ahava. And despite their best intentions, to a place of Tum'ah. V'lachin Yosef, b'heyoto b'mitzrayim, avarat Hashem midat ha-yir'ah. And therefore Yosef, when he was in Mitzrayim, he dafka served God out of fear, out of yirat shamayim. Again, it was a choice. It wasn't because he was raised in a way that he only had yirat and didn't have ahava. It wasn't because he didn't appreciate ahava. It was that he made a cheshbon nefesh. He did the internal work, the self-reflection, and said, the way we're going to survive here is through yirat. The way we're going to survive here as Ovdei Hashem is through yirat. Is it the highest? No. But we're in the lowest of places. We're living in the lowest place on earth. The most tumetic place on earth. The most impure place on earth. We're in Mitzrayim. The only way to be successful in Avodas Hashem here, says Yosef to himself, is if I serve God out of yirat. And I train my kids to serve God out of yirat. Ukimokein, gambana v'Efraim u'Menashe, hayita ikar avodatam midat ha-yirat. And therefore also by Ephraim and Manasseh, the main avoda was in Yira. Ukimamar Maran, the Slonimer says, on the Pasuk, Isha Yirat Hashem hiti tala, shekineget ha-avod elu ha-etza yichida hirak Yirat Hashem. Ne sheba-etza yitgavruta ta-avod ein davar sheyachol limno adam yichit ela Yirat Hashem sheyodea di'itin v'idaya. What is he saying here? And this is a big musar. It's a big musar, hopefully less so. Those of you, I mean, we're here in Shana Aleph, and hopefully you're embracing the opportunity for purity and Kedusha in Shana Aleph. But, lo aleinu, if you go out to Ben Yehuda one night, but, those of you who are gasping, who are about to go to Chutz La'aretz, okay? To think for a second, and what he's saying here is very, very deep. He's saying that when you're going to be in a situation, whether by choice, whether not by choice, whether it was by choice and you regret it, or it was where you need to be, whatever the case may be, when you're in a situation of tum'ah, the only way, and again, this is the shita of Yosef, and we'll see what Yaakov has to say, but we're in good hands if we're following the shita of Yosef. The sheet of Yosef was, the opinion of Yosef was, when you're in a place of Tum'ah, the only way to successfully serve God is to reinforce the Yir'ah. And for those of you who are here for the year, to think about that. Are you building up your Yir'at Shamayim? Are you building up the consciousness, the awareness, the mindfulness that God is always here? And it doesn't have to be in an oppressive way, but in a real way. That yeah, there is a judgment at the end of days, and there is a judge. That yes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with me always, and that's beautiful. But at the same time, how could I sin if God's standing here right next to me? How could I spit in God's face as He's sitting in front of me, and I could do this aveira? But the physicality is very strong. And to build that up here while you're here is amazing. Because at some point or another in life, we need that. Again, however we end up in these situations, the world is full of places of tum'ah. And I don't want to say inevitably, but I'm going to say almost inevitably, whether for an extended period of time or momentarily, we can end up in a place of tum'ah. And says Yosef HaTzadik, the way to succeed in a place of tum'ah is only through yir'ah. And he gives the example from there. Dafka Mitzrayim. Those who are in Seder, we're going to talk about this at length when we talk about Shmot, Ba'ir, Bo, B'Shalach, the Parshiot of Mitzrayim. That Mitzrayim, the main reality of Mitzrayim was Arayos. Sexual immorality. That was the reality of Mitzrayim. When the brothers come down, Yosef looks at them and he says, you came here to see Ervat Ha'aretz, which we translate as, you came here to spy out the land, and he accuses the brothers. But he uses the lashon ervat ha'aretz, which means the nakedness of the land. Mitzrayim was a land that was full of pritzos. That was full of arayos. Eretz Mitzrayim, the Medrash brings down, that in Makat Bechorot, just to bring out how deep it was, the arayos in Mitzrayim. Makat Bechorot, The firstborn died in every house. Says the Midrash, the firstborn in Egypt, in every house died. But in every single house, it wasn't the one they thought was the firstborn. Because everybody was having arayos with everybody else, that who they thought was the firstborn wasn't really the firstborn of this one, it was the firstborn of that one, and the firstborn of this one. And so there was one child dead in every house, but it wasn't, in every house it wasn't the child they thought. That was the arayos of Mitzrayim, embodied by Eshet Potiphar, who's running after Yosef. This is the reality of Mitzrayim. And so he's saying here, he's talking from the opposite direction, that's often how the Sfarim talk. Isha Yirat Hashem Italal, meaning when there's the temptation of Isha for a man and the Ish for a woman, meaning when there's temptation in arayos. Isha, what's the only way to get out when you're in a situation, and you're in a makom, you're in a tumidic place, in an impure place, where everybody's involved in arayos? Yirat Hashem Hititalal. Yirat Hashem is the most praiseworthy. That's what's going to save you. When we're in those moments, when we're being tested and we're being tempted, when we're in an environment that is completely impure, says Yosef HaTzadik, the way to succeed is to have that incredibly strong foundation of Yirah. The only way, when the time comes, Shavuot Mitzvachot, you're dating, you're sitting next to a boy, you've been dating him for 3, 4, or 5 dates. Okay, fine. 3, 4, or 5 months. Okay? You've been dating him for 3, 4, or 5 months. Date. Hours. Whatever. Right? You've been dating him for 3, 4, or 5 months, whatever it is. You know you're going to get married to him. You know he's the one. Shazam Mazlach, it should be great.
Omni.
You're sitting there, and you get to that moment, and you say in your head, speaking from your perspective, you say in your head, I know he's the one. I know he's the one. Well, it's about to get less awe. I know he's the one. And so you hear this voice and it says, we're going to be married a month from now. We're going to be married a month from now. Why do I have to wait another month? Why can't I touch him? Why? He's the one. We're going to get married. And if you were to ask yourself a day before, and if you were to ask yourself a day later, the answer is, because it's an Isser D'Oraisa, and depending on what you're thinking, possibly of Kares. That's the answer to the question, and it's very clear a day before, and it's very clear a day after.
Repeat that again.
It's a Torah prohibition to have affectionate physical contact with the opposite gender. Full stop.
And it's Kares?
Depending on what the couple decides to do. Depending. Meaning if they have a full physical interaction, that's Kares. Yeah. If it's a full physical interaction, that's facts. That's Torah. If it's a full physical interaction, that's Kares. Okay. Whatever Kares means is clearly a very serious sin. There's a lot of interpretations. That's not the point. The point, that's taking us off track. That's why you have Yishav HaMislo classes. Okay? Keeping us on track. Keeping us on track. The point is, it's so clear in the day before and the day after, chas v'shalom lo alinu, you would never do such a thing. And yet, in that moment, how are you going to overcome? Says Yosef HaTzadik, in that moment, Avat Hashem is not going to save you. Because all you're thinking about is that boy. You should only think about God and only love God, but right now you really just kind of love the boy. What's going to save you? Your Yirat Shamayim. That's that foundation that saves you in that moment. And we're talking about, honestly, a relatively... please stop talking. We're talking about a relatively pure situation of two from people who are Shomer Negiah, who have been dating, who are on their way to marriage, who want to stay from and want to be from the process and lead them from life. That's an amazing... he's talking about... that's in a from context. Kal v'chomer b'menosha kal v'chomer l'tumah. Yosef's in Mitzrayim where the standard is arayos. It's almost like chuslar. Right? Where the standard is arayos. And I say that very seriously. Where if you actually say in certain areas of chutz la'aretz, in many areas of chutz la'aretz, that you're religious, and because of your religious identity, you don't touch people of the opposite gender, they'll tell you you're crazy. You're wrong. You're suppressing. How can you get married and not touch the other person first? How can you get married and not know if you're physically compatible? How could you not mess around a little bit first with whoever you want to see what you like and how you like and what does it matter and what is this God and what is this... when you're surrounded by Tumah. Tuma that's pulling you on a level of taiva, Tuma that's trying to mess with your mind and your ashkafa, your outlook on the world. The only thing, says Yosef, the only way that you can possibly stay strong is if you have a foundation, and for him it was an education of Yirah. And there's a lot of truth to that. It's Yosef HaTzadik. Even if Yaakov's going to disagree, it's Yosef HaTzadik, who raised Ephraim and Menashe successfully in Egypt. We're not talking about anybody. We're talking about Yosef and Ephraim and Menashe. And we're not talking about anyone. We're talking about Mitzrayim. And also, you know what other Jews he had for his support group? When he went to his Judaism AA meeting, you know who was in the room? Him and Ephraim and Menashe. There was nobody else. There were no other Jews there. There was no one. There was no one. I think this is probably more Mitzad Ahava. But you see the intensity of it. I don't connect with many aspects necessarily of modern day Chabad. But I have things that I appreciate about modern day Chabad. For example, shluchim go out all over the place where there's no other Jews and there's no other from Jews. In their house, they're super not from. There's a television in every single room in the house of Chabad. Every single one, super not from. You know there's a television in every single house? They know they're nowhere. They know that their children and their families are being raised in an arena where there is no outside influence of true Torah Judaism. And in every single room in the house, all day, every room, on loop, the Rebbe. Videos of the Rebbe talking, teaching. That's what they see and hear all day in every room of the house. And that's how they're able to raise incredibly from families in areas that have no from Jews. Maybe their places are tahor, maybe the places are tamei, irrelevant. It's not from Jews. Kal v'chomer if it's a tamei place that no from Jews. You have to go to extreme lengths when you're in a situation where you're isolated from purity, where you're isolated from spirituality. That's a modern day example. And again, which I have a lot of respect for and look up to. It is very likely that in your lives, again, whether it's one evening by accident, or a family trip that you couldn't avoid, or a secular college that you got locked into, or graduate school, in which point it doesn't matter anymore, or a job because you got a depression in the secular world, wherever you are in life and wherever you will be in life, the time is going to come when you're in a reality of tum'ah. And says Yosef HaTzadik, Yira is the only way. And without that yirah as a foundation, there's no way. And so he raises himself, he educates himself, he raises his kids, and they survive Mitzrayim, the source of tum'ah. He's able to get them to succeed through the midah of yirah. Let's go forward. Next paragraph. V'yesh lefaresh, de'omnam Yaakov gam ken yada, et shuvat Yosef shemakom kazeb Mitzrayim sarik lavor at Hashem Yibarach midata yirah dafka, kdei shelo lehikashel b'tum'at arvat haaretz. Meaning, again, we're talking about Yaakov and Yosef. So says the Nesivos Shalom, of course Yaakov knew the answer of Yosef. Of course he was aware of that possibility. That Yosef's opinion, that in a place like Mitzrayim, you have to serve God out of fear specifically in order to overcome the tumah of Mitzrayim. Elehayot shemidato shel Yaakov midat tiferet hi Torah. Since the midah of Yaakov is the midah of tiferet, chesed vura tiferet, that center line, that third midah in the center, the midah of tiferet, and the midah of tiferet is very closely related, or one facet of that reality is actually the reality of Torah itself. Ukimo dichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Micha, Titen emet li Yaakov, the truth, Torah, goes to Yaakov, va'atorah nikreit emet, the Torah is emes. So emes goes to Yaakov, and what's emes? Emes is Torah. Yaakov's reality is a reality of Torah. Uvezor HaKadosh, and the Zohar says, four lines from the bottom, Torah da Yaakov, that Torah is Yaakov, Yaakov's whole reality is Torah. With the koach of Torah, it's possible to serve God out of love, even in Mitzrayim. It's really what? If one truly has Torah, Before even going forward, parentheses, that might actually be a better example of the Chabad example. Meaning Chabad is all about love. It's all about Ahava. It's all about Chesed. So how are they able to do that? Because what do we say that they do? They have televisions every room with what? With the Rebbe teaching Torah all the time. Meaning the kids are growing up with Torah. Maybe that's Dafka where they're coming from. They're living like Yaakov and not like Yosef. The Hainu. Shemikevan sheba Torah nichlelu bet hamidot. Midata yirah, midata ahava. Since in the Torah it's comprised of both sides. It's comprised of both yirah and ahava. Both fear and love. Top of the next column. Top of the next page. Sheba Torah yish koach ha'esh. That Torah has the power of fire. Kemo dichtiv, as the pasuk says very famously, Halo ko divari ka'esh nu mashem. God says, my words are like fire. Ve'esh merumaz lemidata yirah. And fire is hinting to the aspect of Yira. Right? Fire. Fire is frightening. Fire burns things away. Fire is Yira. Yira is fire. V'chein nimshala Torah l'mayim. But Torah is not only compared to fire, it's also compared to water. Shene'emar. Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. The pasuk says, anybody who's thirsty, come and drink water. That's obvious. What's the pasuk saying? Anybody who's thirsty who's truly thirsty for meaning, come and drink the waters of Torah. Torah is also water. Ve'in mayim el Torah. And the Gemara tells us, mayim, Torah, the true reality of water is Torah. Umayim hu midat ahava. And water is the midah of ahava. Because ahava, it comes out beyond oneself. It flows. It gives life. That's ahava. But if that's true, then the Torah is both fire and water. Two opposites, but they're contained in one reality. The Torah is both a reality of Yirat Shamayim, teaching us Yirat Shamayim, living Yirat Shamayim. And the Torah is also a reality of water, a reality of chesed, a reality of ahava, a reality of love. It's combined together in one. The Hainu. Shekoach haTorah machil b'kirbo koach ahava gadol me'ol. And that means that the Torah has inside of it this tremendous ahava. Ukimodi tiv, as the pasuk says, Eilat ahavim v'yalat chen tidei yorucha b'chol eit ba'ava tishke tamid. The mamish, there's love sickness coming out here. Crazy with love. As the Orachaim says, "Sheim hayo bnei Adam margishim b'mitikut v'arevut tov haTorah, hayu mishtagim umitlahatim achareha." Says the Orachaim HaKadosh so beautifully that if we human beings, if we really dug deep, if we really worked hard, and we really felt the sweetness, the deep sweetness of Torah, we'd mamish go crazy running after it our whole lives. The sweetness that's there, if we felt it, if we achieved it, if we touched that sweet, the true emistic sweetness in Torah, we'd mamish spend our whole lives crazily running after it. Dehainu, shekaasher kol yachid lefi erko, masig et hamitikut v'arevut hatzfuna b'Torah, that when every single individual, each one on their own level, when each one of us on our own level, grasps the sweetness, the deep sweetness that's buried inside the Torah. Hareu mishtagau mitlahet achareha. The Ramamish going crazy over it. Ramamish running after it. It's all we want. The koach zesheba Torah mamtik umivatel et kol ha'avot ha'ra'ot. And says the Nesivo Shalom, this koach, this strength within the Torah of its sweetness, it's so sweet. It's so beloved, it's so intense, that it's able to sweeten and overturn all of the negative ahavas that there are in the world. If I truly touch Torah in my own way, the way that only I can, and I touch that true sweetness of Torah, there is nothing else that I can go after. There is nothing else that I want to go after. V'lachein, and therefore, Savar Yaakov Avinu, Shebakoach haTorah yicholim afilu b'Mitzrayim la'avod et Hashem yiparach gam midat ahava mibli lachshosh shetiyeh lo nefila. Says Yaakov, what's his shita, what's his opinion? That with the koach of Torah, which was his koach, it was his identity, it was part of who he was. Yosef obviously had the Torah also. But Yaakov was Tiferet, was Emet, was Torah, who he was. So Yaakov says, I know this is who I am. That with the koach of Torah, with the strength of Torah, you can even overcome the difficulties of Mitzrayim. You can even make sure you're not going to fall in Mitzrayim in a place of Ahava, if you have the Torah with you. As we see, the second that Yaakov gets down to Mitzrayim, Ketiv, that Yehuda shalach lefanav lehorot. It says that as Yaakov was descending to Mitzrayim, what did he do? He sent Yehuda ahead of him. He sent Yehuda ahead of him. It says lehorot. There's more to the pasuk, but he stops there. Lehorot. Lehorot means to teach. Uperush chazal. Chazal explained. He said, yeah, we're going to Mitzrayim, everyone. All of Bnei Yisrael, I mean literally, Bnei, the children of Yisrael, so was Yaakov, all 70 people, they're all going down to Mitzrayim. So before he goes, Yaakov sends ahead Yehuda and says, we're on our way, so you to go ahead and build a base medrash. Build a Makom Torah. Because I hold the way that we're going to succeed in Mitzrayim is still through Ahava. But only through Ahava if it comes through the koach of the Torah itself. Only a love that comes out of the depth of connectivity to Torah. Go and build that base medrash before we even get there. V'ayinu lefi sheYaakov savar sheHadavar haRishon sheZarich l'Mitzrayim hu koach haTorah, because Yaakov held that the main thing that we needed in Mitzrayim was the koach of Torah. Shal yado yuchlu la'avod et Hashem rak b'chol amidot. He knew that through this, if they had the koach of Torah, they could even overcome the challenges of Chutz La'aretz. And you see that too. You see that too. Think to yourself, whatever your definition of it might be, whatever place might come to mind, think of the most tameh-oriented places in Chutz La'aretz. Think of the countries, think of the cities, think of the towns. Think of the places in Chutz La'aretz that are the most full of Tumah. You go to those places and you walk into a base medrash there. I can think of some of them. Some of those places and some of those Batei Medrash. Some of the most gorgeous Batei Medrash you'll ever see. Some of the biggest Gedolim that you'll see. Some of the most beautiful Torahs you'll ever hear. Why? Because you can live. It's not necessarily ideal. I'm not necessarily recommending it. But if you're in a place of Tum'ah, if you have a genuine Makom Torah, and you, and by you I mean every single one of you, every single one of us, if when you're in that place, you attach yourself to that Makom Torah, you live in that Makom Torah, you live for that Makom Torah, and that Torah is a part of you, and that sweetness of Torah is mamish a part of you. In theory, says Yaakov Avinu, if you really put your whole life into it, if you really touch the sweetness of Torah, even in the darkest place, even in the most tummy place, not only can you still be, you can still, okay, I'm still from. No. You can still be a full-fledged, 100% Oved Ovedet Hashem. And not only that, not only can you be a full-fledged Ovedet Hashem, you can be a full-fledged Oved Hashem through Yira. Not only that, you can even be a full-fledged Oved Hashem through Ahava. Through Ahava. If you have that place, and you have that connectivity. Tremendously, tremendously deep insight. I know there were a couple of hands. We have like 3-4 minutes left. I just want to finish the piece, and then I'll stay a little bit after for some for questions if there are questions. He continues on. And he says, final paragraph. Uvazem voar ma dichtiv vayishlach Yisrael et yimino vayashet al rosh Ephraim. Now we can understand what's happening in this story. Yaakov, you know, puts out his right hand, and Davka puts his right hand on Ephraim. Al piyam vuar de Ephraim and Menashe and Anim beta midot halalu. Like you said at the beginning, Menashe and Ephraim are each bringing out one of these midot. Menashe is bringing out the sur mirah, staying away from the bad, the Yira side. And Ephraim, Hifrani, expanding, multiplying. I mean, Ephraim's bringing out the Asay Tov. He's bringing out the Ahava. And Yaakov says, I don't care what order they were born in. I'm putting my right hand on the primary bracha on Ephraim. Even in Mitzrayim. Because he's all about Ahava, Asay Tov. The Menashe v'chinat Tzor Meira, like we just said, recapping. Menashe is the aspect of Tzor Meira. Like we said, Ki Nashani Elokim et Kol Amali. That Menashe is all about forgetting, leaving the past behind, rejecting the negative. Shemoromez al Rova Yigiya B'Yirat Shemayim, who's all, his whole reality, his name, his essence is all about Yirat Shemayim, serving from a place of fear. Ve'Ephraim Midat Asay Tov, and Ephraim's all about the Asay Tov, doing the good. The Ahava, Kimo Dichtiv, Ki Yifrani Elokim Be'eretz Oni, that HaKadosh Baruch will allow me to multiply in the land of my suffering. Shinyano Avodav Midat Asay Tov, that he's all about serving God from Asay Tov. Hadu Midat Ahava Bechelak Achiyuv, coming in the positive sense, serving God out of love, doing the positive. Shafilu Be'eretz Oni, that even in the land of my suffering, even in Mitzrayim, B'makom HaTa'avot, the land of pure Taiva, of pure desire. Gam Kein Yifrani Elokim, Ephraim is the reality that even in such a place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowed me to expand, to multiply, to succeed. Al Yedei Shemashkia Et Kol Kochot Ahava V'Yashay Tov, because he's put his whole essence, his whole being, his whole kishkas into Asay Tov. V'Al Zeh Amar Yosef El Aviv, and this is what Yosef then replies to Yaakov. Lo Kein Avi Ki Zeh HaBechor. No, 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 don't do that. Switch your hands. Menashe is the Bechor. Ki reshit avoda b'sor meira. Because we're supposed to start with Sor Meira. We're supposed to start with Yira. Like the Zohar says, Pikada kadma da yirat Hashem. You have to start your avoda. We've talked about this in the past. You have to start with Yira. Reshit chokma yirat Hashem. The beginning of chokma is Yira. The beginning of avoda is Yira. Says Yosef to his father, no, 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 you gotta put your right hand on Menashe. You gotta start with Yira. That's why Menashe should be getting the Bechorah. V'analo Yaakov. But Yaakov says, I understand your Shita. I understand your opinion. But I disagree with you. You're wrong. V'analo Yaakov. Yadati b'ni yadati. I know exactly what you're saying. V'ulam achiva katan yigdal mimenu. But the younger one's going to be greater. What does that mean? Shemidat ahava yoter gedola. At the end of the day, ahava's greater. At the end of the day, ahava's bigger. At the end of the day, ahava's the goal. We need to focus on the ahava. V'hainu shebekoach haTorah shebimidato shel Yaakov. That through the koach of Torah, which is the midah of Yaakov, yicholim la'avod et Hashem yibarach gam midat ahava. You can serve God here even out of ahava if you focus on Torah. V'ein lachshosh minefila la'ahava ra'ot. You don't have to worry about falling into any bad ahavas if you're connected to Torah, if you're completely connected to Torah and focused on Torah. V'zar'o yiyeh milo goyim. And his children are going to mamish be a tremendous nation. Shal yidea Torah afshar la'achnia kol ta'avot ha'goyim. That with the koach of Torah, with the strength of Torah, you can mamish subjugate the taivas of all the other nations. You can overcome anything. It's a tremendous musr from this piece. What he's saying here is, again, when the right time comes, for those who are listening, some of you may already be in Chutz La'aretz in a Makom of Tumah. Some of you may be on your way to a Makom of Tumah. Some of you have a little bit of time and may be on your way to a Makom of Tumah. And what he's saying here is, it's a tremendous chizuk. If you attach yourself to Torah, if you immerse yourself in Torah, if you immerse yourself in the Beis Medrash and the Beit Knesset, in Torah, in learning, in Shiurim, in Sfarim, if you immerse yourself in Torah and get and touch that sweetness of Torah, you can even serve God out of Ahava in the place of tremendous Taiva. But I want to add a parenthesis, and I hope that the Nesei Shalom will forgive me if I'm wrong. But I want to add a parenthesis, which is, some of you listening may not be constantly engaged in Torah. Some of you here, after a certain amount of time in Chutz La'aretz, you may not be engaged in a deep reality of Torah. That's the reality. And I'm not judging, and I'm not, chas v'shalom, giving any of you that bracha. I'm saying that it could be that for you, that you're not going to be fully immersed in Torah at all times when you get to Chutz La'aretz. It could be some of you are in Chutz La'aretz and are not immersed in Torah full time. I would claim, based on the words in front of us, that if you don't feel the type of sweetness that he's talking about yet, and if you're Hashem, you should all feel it now and continue to feel it your whole lives. Really? Really? If you're Hashem, you should all feel it now and feel it your whole lives. There we go. I've got to train these people early. Right? So, if you're Hashem, you should. But if for some reason you're in a place where you don't, whether it's a physical place or a place in life where you don't, then you can't rely on that alone. Pekad dekad madai yirat Hashem. Reshit chochma yirat Hashem. Yosef shita is still a shita. Which is, if you don't have that connection to Torah at that moment, then yeah, in the tumma of chutz la'aretz, the only way to succeed is through yirah. It's yira or totally connected to the sweetness of Torah. And you got to know who you are and where you're at. But you have two shitas to succeed now. You have two opinions and two paths to success. Even lo aleinu if in your place of tumah. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. That we should always be in a place of kedusha. That we should always be in a place of tahara and kedusha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that in the moments of our lives, however long they may last for, we're in a place lo aleinu of tumah. That we have a base medrash that's there, with a rav that's there, with Torah that's there, with Sfarim that's there, with Shurim that's there, with Tzvilas that are there, with the Hillims that are there, that are mamish, full of ahava, full of Torah, full of the sweetness of Torah. And lo aleinu, lo aleinu, lo aleinu, if we're in that place and we don't have that beit midrash, or I don't have that sweetness of Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me fortify my midah of yira. That even lo aleinu in the depths of Mitzrayim, I can look at Eshet Potiphar and say no. I can look at the culture of Mitzrayim and say, I deny you and all of your claims and all of your temptations because I'm a Jew and there is a judge and there is a judgment and there is emes and that's what I'm committed to and that fear of violating that is going to keep me strong no matter what. But Hashem Baruch Hu should give us the right strength in all the right times, allow us to continue to serve Him in all places at all times, so we can all come back together to serve in the base of Megillah.